Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity studio. Dave Spadaro with you. And today we bring you Eagles Live as a primer, if you will, for the final 3 days of this Eagles spring period. It is the minicamp, a full-team mandatory minicamp that begins on Tuesday, runs through Thursday. And then for the veteran, it's see you later. For the rookies, they hang around for a couple of more weeks, get some conditioning in. And then they go bye-bye for a month, and then it's time for training camp, which will be split, obviously, between the NovaCare Complex and Lincoln Financial Field. Those dates, all the information, coming soon, I promise you that. How's everybody doing? Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you're ready for some Eagles football this week. Get a little bit closer to finding out what's up and what's down with this Eagles football team. I don't know. Can't wait to find out, though. Love the energy. Love the practice. Went out there on Friday. Enjoyed it. Broiling heat. Players working through their motions and going through it very crisply. And I think we all watch it and we get so hung up on who's taking the reps there and who's taking the reps there. And I am absolutely convinced that the coaching staff, not at all focused on that. They want to see high reps, high recognition from the players, and understanding of the scheme. And then when the time is appropriate and they feel that the players understand what they're doing, they will fairly evaluate those players and put them into their proper slots on the depth chart. But you won't see a depth chart until the Eagles have to put one out, and that's the week before that first preseason game. So until then, it is all guesswork. It's all speculation. It's all fun. And then we will get into the preseason schedule and watch it unfold on the field against an opponent. That is when we will really, really get a feel for what Chip Kelly is thinking in terms of his depth chart. Let's get you caught up with some of the headlines here. Of course, we are open tomorrow. The mini camp begins. It runs through Tuesday or through Thursday at the NovaCare Complex. And we're going to talk to a couple of key figures with that mini camp, with the football team in general. Defensive tackle Fletcher Cox in his second year, dominating at times as a rookie. Where does he take his game in year number two? And then defensive coordinator Bill Davis dropped by. We spoke to the entire coaching staff a couple of weeks ago. Coach Davis joining us in the studio to get an overview of the defense. Is it a 3-4? Is it a 4-3? What is all this talk of a hybrid? What does that exactly mean? Chip Kelly speaks on Thursday this week once the minicamp wraps up, and we'll find out from him. Will he possibly, maybe, start talking about a depth chart? I don't think so, but we'll see. Some of the rookies still will be absent from this camp. Second-round draft pick Zach Ertz. He is out, as is seventh-round draft pick Jordan Poyer, cornerback. Both of those players will be back in a couple of weeks per this rule that I do not agree with that requires teams, players whose college classes have not yet graduated to wait until those classes have done so, until they've officially walked up the aisle before these players, these products of universities, can go report for work. Makes no sense to me. Eagles Live returns on Thursday at 3 o'clock. We will wrap things up from the three-day minicamp. We take your phone calls today, 215-339-6709. We want to hear from you. What you want to see in the minicamp, what you've seen so far, and I don't know, just a great sense of excitement about the team and such a feeling of unknown about the Philadelphia Eagles because we have not seen a lot of the team on the field. And I think that sort of speculation leads to rampant use of imagination, and I always enjoy that very much. But we've shown you a few. We throw you up some highlights anytime you want. You want to take a look at some highlights now? Let's do. Mark, cue up a couple highlights just from practice, just for the heck of it, just to take a look at practice. So 215-339-6709. Coming up, we've got LeSean McCoy, his voting, where he ranks among the top 100. The NFL Network is running this piece, as they've done the top 100 in the NFL. Jerry Azanero there working out his troops. But where does Shady, after an injury-plagued 2012, where does he rank among his peers in the NFL? Let's get one quick phone call before we get to LeSean McCoy. Jimmy the Geek in Las Vegas joins us. Hi, Jimmy.
Dan, how was your weekend?
It was great. How was yours?
Good, good, good. I've decided, and I challenge you and your staff to follow suit, okay, to go into my own camp starting tomorrow. Heavy workouts, morning and afternoon. I think weights in the afternoon and cardio in the morning. Are you on board?
Work the core, Jimmy. Work the core, buddy.
Why not? Dave, when you get Billy Davis in there, ask him how Cleveland's media treated him and the rest of the staff that came over. I just get a sense from listening and reading all the articles that the Philly media just has this acrimonious need to challenge, to debate, to call into question things that that the coaching staff does. I don't understand it.
Well, what's the job of the media then?
I think the job of the media is to report, on the team, not to become, assistant coaches and evaluators.
Can you cite specifics? Well, of course they're evaluators.
Yeah, Les Bowen. Yeah, I mean, just go down the list. Les Bowen, these guys, they ask these sort of questions with the snarky, looking for some insight, into.
Well, I think the media's job is to look for some insight. I don't think that's. I'm going to.
I find it disconcerting. And it certainly isn't, the way things were, over the course of following teams. I don't think that fans really want a dialogue, an acrimonious dialogue between the media and our sports teams. I just don't.
I guess you'd have to be. I mean, you've cited one reporter, not an instance.
Bob Ford.
In terms of something that he's written that particularly bothers you.
Yeah, what are they going to run? What defenses? Is this going to be effective? Can they succeed in the NFL? Is this going to be a Steve Spurrier type? That kind of insight or
well, I don't think that's insight. I think that's merely
in their opinion. I think.
Yeah, I think that's there's Bob Ford's a columnist, so that's understandable. But
he's not a beat writer anymore. He doesn't follow the team.
Well, he comes out. But Jimmy, thank you very much for the call. I get it. Look, I think that the media's role, in a sense, is to be provocative, to create and generate and sustain interest and conversation about that particular beat. I have no problem with. I don't know. I'm not going to speak to the snarkiness. I don't know if I would say I've witnessed any of that, but I think the media, look, there's so much of it out there. It's so much competition that media, they want to be recognized. They want to be read. They want to be heard. They want their opinions to be out there, and I have no problem with that. Look, the NFL is a business that has done a great job of creating a year-round buzz despite playing from September through the end of December, yet for 12 months a year, 365 days during that year, we are engaged. We are talking here on a Monday, June 3rd, about the Philadelphia Eagles with a good audience watching. Why is that? Because you love the Eagles, because you can't get enough of the Eagles. My job is to keep bringing you the Eagles and feed an insatiable appetite. And I embrace that role, and we all do here. And I think that's the job of the media as well, to provide information, to provide content, to provide some avenues for fans to follow sports. So I have no problem. Again, I'm not going to speak to snarkiness or any of that. That's your judgment. I don't observe that. I think the media are a bunch of hardworking guys who love their craft. While it may look easy at times to some, it's a very challenging role to do it every day. All right, LeSean McCoy. Injuries last year limited him after just a great 2011 season. I think of all the players here, he will benefit tremendously from this offensive scheme, from an improved offensive line, from competition in the backfield. Big things ahead for LeSean McCoy. The NFL Network keeping up with the offseason theme, creating a little buzz. The top 100 players in the NFL – LeSean McCoy ranked 45th in the league. This is his reaction to being number 45.
Let's start with Shady's spot on the countdown here. Number 45. I'm going to put you on this spot here because we're talking about you, but I trust that you will be honest. Number 45.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like coming off a big season the year before, coming in at 18, you know, and kind of having a bad year as a team and as an individual, you know, getting hurt and missing quite some games. So I feel like the spot, 45 is not bad. Just by knowing the condition of how the year went for myself, you know, and battling through concussions. So I don't feel bad about that call at all.
You think
you know,
if you were healthy?
I just know the type of work I have to do.
You think if you were healthy the entire time and if you are healthy next year that you'll be a lot higher on this list?
Yeah. I think this year coming up, I'm healthy. I have something to prove again. It seems like you could do everything your whole career, but then that one year, you know, if you don't play well, don't put the stats up. You know, you kind of get bumped down again. So I'm up for this year. I can't wait. I can't think of a back in the NFL that could do as much as I can do. So I'm focused and I'm ready to roll. I think with Coach Kelly, you know, bringing a new offense that kind of fits me so well of just being in open space and so many different looks and movements, I think she'll have a better year.
Well, they have to win, and I think you see the stink of the Eagles' season is taking its toll. And he, you know, Shady, I think has a healthy outlook. But Shady, here's the question I have: you lost to Michael Vick in a race. We heard all about it. Could you beat Mark Barkley in a race, though? And I, Mark Barkley.
Yeah, I definitely could beat Mark. You know, I probably can't. I probably can't beat Mark, but I probably can beat Matt for sure. And by the way, for the records, though, Mike Vick definitely cheated on the race. He did it for exposure, you know, so he didn't really beat me.
Explain the cheating. What happened? How was it cheating?
Well, he actually jumped the count early, you know, so somebody said, ready, set, go. He took off on set, and I took off on go. That's what happened.
And the Mark Barkley joke we should establish. Sorry, Shady, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, the whole thing with Matt. I mean, I know who he was. I was joking with the media. And everybody in Philadelphia, they'll blow it out of proportion. So he's actually a great player, too.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News & World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
To this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Last year, 2012, he was the number one draft pick of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, a big-time part of this Eagles defense. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Xfinity Studio. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by Fletcher Cox, of course, Eagles defensive lineman. And I like to see that. You're all smiles and happy. How's it going out there? Come on.
It's going good. Just going to get better every day.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thing. You know, have a goal and try to get better.
What is Coach different than the past? I mean, everybody talks about Coach Az is he's got a lot of intensity. He really wants you guys to play with a lot of energy. I would imagine that inspires you every day.
it most definitely inspires me a whole lot. It started in the meet room where he's teaching the meet room, you know, and on the field he's also teaching, and not only he's not just coaching, yelling, he want to correct things and make sure things are right. And he real laid back. I mean, not a lot of yelling and screaming at you. He want things done his way. I mean, not your way.
How much of a jump, Fletcher, do you think you're gonna have year one to year two in the NFL?
I mean, I think it'll be a whole lot better than year one,
which was pretty darn good.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, everybody here thinks. You don't think?
I mean, I think it was pretty good, but it could have been better. But by being my first year, I mean, I surprised myself. Well, I knew I was gonna play at a high level, just not. I mean, a lot of people saying it's hard for defensive tackles to get, you know, five, a lot of sacks and stuff like that. Which, you know, I just worked through that and just let it happen.
Tell me the welcome to the NFL moment you may have had. Do you remember? You know, look, an NFL offensive lineman is a whole lot different than most of the college linemen that you face. Was there a moment when you said, "Woo, these guys are good up here"?
Well, I'll say probably one game where I got a double team, and you know, kind of got pushed out a little bit. And I kind of finally opened my eyes, and I was like, "Man, you know, okay, now I got to bring it."
Yeah, and so the difference is that you've got to bring it every play. Do you think in the NFL more than, not that you didn't in college, but in college, you're so much more talented than a lot of the guys. You can kind of get by on that, can't you?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It depends on who you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
During
the NFL.
In the
SEC, of course, it's also awfully competitive football, too.
I mean, you got guys that's probably playing a lot of majority of the guys in the NFL, offensive linemen probably played in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got to look at that, you know, and taking no plays off, you know, during the course of a game.
How much different are your responsibilities now with this hybrid defensive line, the front, than you had last year?
I mean, you got some responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Depends on what defensive call and, you know, what's your responsibility on that play. And you got to do your job, because if not, then, you know, the ball might leak out where you're supposed to be at.
Fletcher, tell me about the feeling that the defense has. A lot of new faces, new coaches, new scheme. Do you feel that it's all coming together?
Yes, sir. Everybody's coming together. It's more talking. Everybody communicating with everybody. You know, players communicating with the coach. You can sit on the sideline. If something happened, you know, during practice, you can see the players going to the sideline, you know, asking questions to the coaches, you know, communicating, trying to make things right. So on game day, everybody will be on one page.
Once this mini camp is over, Fletch, you're going to go down to Mississippi, I assume, and enjoy yourself. And I know the Eagles Television Network followed you a bit and had some fun with you a couple of weeks ago. Something you love, getting behind the wheel, getting all kinds of muddy. Tell me about this. What is this scene here?
That scene right there just a normal day for a guy like me. Just going out and having a lot of fun, you know, four-wheeling and this thing that's a country boy doing in Mississippi.
Yeah, and so that's actually a drag race.
No, that's not a drag race. Okay. Actually, that's where I hunt at. So I mean, we're just having fun wise, you know, hunt season not in. And, you know, guys just – I mean, well, we got to go back and replant. So, you know, doing probably when it's starting to get back cold outside, you know, Mississippi, then, you know, we won't be out there, you know, doing all that.
And this is fun.
Always fun.
Yeah. This is how you kind of let your mind go and just relax and just be a kid again.
Most definitely. It's always fun to just go out and, you know, do those things like that. You can see, you know, the smile on my face go out, and also drag racing.
Yeah. Now, how did you get into all this stuff, Fletcher?
Well, I've been doing this since I was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, he got me into it, you know, drag racing. And
cool.
And I've been just got into it, and I enjoy watching it.
You're a motorhead? Are you under the hood? And can you rebuild an engine?
I can.
Oh man, can. You're more of a man than I am. I'll tell you that. what kind of workouts will you do down there? How will you, you know, get ready for training camp? We've seen the tempo here at practice, very fast. You know, Chip wants his players in great physical condition. I imagine you're used to that tempo now.
Oh yeah, I'm real used to that tempo. I mean, I do the same thing as I did before I came in. You know, work out 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. Probably might do cardio on Friday, and also, you know, just running. You know, doing things to keep my heart rate up, and not letting this hard work that I've done now, you know, kind of go to waste.
Well, listen, we have a great mini camp. If I don't spend some time with you, have a great rest of your off season, and let's get it going for training camp. Big year ahead, all right?
Big year ahead.
Fletcher Cox in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
You know, Fletcher Cox, and I don't mean to put labels on people, or I when he smiles, it reminds me of Jerome Brown. That big, boyish, I love to be here, I love life, I have fun in life smile. Anybody else catch that? Little Jerome Brown in him? That's in the old Wayback Machine. All right, offensive side of the football. Who has the breakout year for the Eagles offense? An offense that really wants to play up tempo, wants to be diverse, wants to be explosive. Maybe it's Jeremy Maclin, who a couple of years ago in the red zone, such a key figure for the Eagles, really 2010. Big time target of Michael Vick's. Is Jeremy Maclin in the final year of his contract going to really take another step forward? Well, who knows? A lot of possibilities. Maclin talks about the offense and he certainly likes what he has seen so far.
It's obviously super early, but can you tell a difference in just the way the offense is functioning from the first couple of days of learning it to now?
Yeah, I mean, it runs a lot more smoothly when people actually know what they're doing. So, but yeah, it's been good, man. I think we'll have a chance to put a lot of different guys in a lot of different positions and just go out there and you know, play football, have fun, and win some games. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this offense can do.
How quickly did it take for everybody to sort of realize what they were doing?
Some faster than others. It's just like any other offense that you try to pick up. This is just a little different than most guys have done. I did something similar in college as far as how we get our plays in and stuff like that. So we'll see.
What are the biggest differences for the receivers?
It's a different type of what we call our routes is just a little different here, but at the same time, it is the same some of the same similar routes that we used to run. We call it our old days, but it's been fine. It's been, I think guys are picking up pretty good.
Mike was just talking about the quarterbacks, he and Foles especially, getting a ton of reps out there. While you guys are still trying to figure out who the main guy is that a good thing to see that they're getting so many reps together?
Yeah, I mean, you want to see the quarterback, get reps and go out there and get familiar with the offense, get familiar with the personnel that's out there as well. So, it's going to be good for both of those guys.
Does that help with you guys too?
Is an adjustment going back and forth between obviously two different quarterbacks, two different styles between Vic and Foles?
Yeah, I mean, what you do as a receiver, you just got to be in the right spot when they call your number and they call your name and go out there and just be available for the quarterback when he needs you. So you really can't get caught up in who exactly it is, but always got to go out there and just be in the right spot.
Is it true that blocking, run blocking, will be a little bit more emphasized in this offense?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will be. We got to. A lot of different ways to get the running back the ball, and some few things, in that aspect. So you got to be firm on the outside and take care of your man.
Jeremy, do you have more options in this offense to adjust your route based on the coverage, and how do those concepts kind of work?
It just depends on the play, man. There are some plays where you got where if it's a certain coverage, you do a certain thing, or if it's man to man, you do a certain thing. So. It just depends on the route that's called, but most offenses has that. This a little bit more. You can do a little bit more, but most offenses have that.
All right, that is Jeremy Maclin. I am Dave Spadaro, and we thank you for joining us here on Eagles Live. Let's get to some phone calls. 215-339-6709 in North Carolina. Let's talk to Eugene. Hey, Eugene.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful, man. I'm just excited about this Eagles, man. I was just thinking about the wide receivers we have.
Okay.
You know, I see DeMarcus Johnson Johnson making a big impact this year. I think we're going to get rid of. I mean, Riley Cooper, man. I don't think he's an impact wide receiver. He makes a few plays.
Here's what Riley Cooper does very well. First of all, I think he's a fine receiver, good body. I don't recall seeing him drop a pass, maybe ever, one. But he's also an excellent blocker in the run game, and he is a very good special teams player. I personally think Riley's a really good player who's gotten, before he broke his collarbone last year, better and better and better and better. Little setback with the collarbone, took him a while to get back into his groove, and I think when he's been given an opportunity to catch the football, he's done a very good job. I like this group of wide receivers. I also recognize that there's a whole nother, the Russell Shepherds, the Ifani Momas, young guys.
Russell Shepherd.
Yeah, all these young players who I want to see jump up and compete. I mean, I'm not sure where you're winning a job with DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Jason Avant, Demaris Johnson, Riley Cooper. I mean, a good, solid, diverse group of wide receivers. I think that Bob Bignell, when he was in here, said that this is as good a group as he's seen from 1 through 10, and he's been in the NFL for quite a while. So I think it's a real good group, really, really strong group.
Let me say this, though. Yeah. I believe that, you know, the ones we've seen last year, I think, you know, I know we're going to have, you know, Jackson. We're going to have, you know,
Maclin.
But the other rest, I'm kind of questioning. I think we're going to see some new faces on that.
Hey, fair enough. I don't know what Chip Kelly wants. I don't know what he likes. I don't know what he's looking for.
I think speed.
I think speed for sure. I think that the thing you have to understand here from what everything that the coaches have said and the players have said, what is Chip Kelly's offense? Well, we know that there's going to be some diversity. We think there's going to be some read option in it. We think they're going to run the football. Pat Shurmur's offensive coordinator comes from a West Coast offense background, and they have said that the passing tree is a West Coast offense similar to a West Coast offense tree. So you're not just going to see streaks down the field, boom, boom. You're going to see catching runs. You're going to see trying to get him in space. You're going to see crossing routes. Yes, you want to be fast, but you've also got to be have some size. That's where I think Riley Cooper fits in.
One more question. What do you think about this guy Mamba? I mean,
I've seen him a few times. He's quicker in and out of the routes than I've expected to see him until the pads go on and the cornerbacks are allowed to put their hands on them. I want to see how he gets off press coverage. I want to see how well he can get away from a cornerback in and out of his routes. He's a very large target. He's very raw, having not played the last 2 years. And as talented as he may be, he's got a lot of catching up to do, having not played for 2 years.
Like Moss?
Not mention Ifani Moma's name in the same breath as Randy Moss. He is 6'7" tall.
Right.
All right, he's not. Randy Moss was, I think, 6'4". Big difference there. Randy Moss was a speed, straight down the field, leap and catch the football. I don't know that much about Moma yet.
Okay.
But thanks, Eugene. Thanks for calling. I can't wait to see this group against what I think is going to try to be a physical group at the cornerback position in training camp. And, you know, I'm not penciling in anybody because I just don't know. And I know it's I sit here and I am just jazzed up about the season, excited. But I'm going to keep saying this, can't remember a time when I felt so much of an unknown about a team. There's just so many new faces, players, coaches, everything. And I just don't know what to expect. That's part of the fun. All right, Vinny Curry in year two of the NFL. You know, this is another unknown. Where does he fit in? Second-year player, high draft pick last year. Does he fit what Bill Davis wants defensively? Curry working hard, putting on weight, adding strength, certainly wants to be an Eagle.
Putting on weight, or when did you know?
They didn't tell me anything. You know, just something that just happened. Yeah. You know, just working out, you know, eating right, you know, just happened that way. You know what I mean? I got the frame for it. You know, so, I mean, it wasn't nothing like, oh, they called me and said, Vinny, you got to put on weight, or you got to do this, you do that. You know, I just pride myself, you know, I know how I felt last year, you know, you'll be inactive for 10 games. And I told myself I ain't going to put nothing. There'll be no excuse, no room for no error, there no nothing. If I'm been active this year, it's going to be on me. You know what I mean?
So what are they asking out of your position? I mean, is it a two-gap responsibility? I mean, what is it?
You know, we do a little bit of everything, two-gapping, pass rushing. It depends on what the play is, different schemes, you know. You know, so we, you know, we're not just a 3-4 team. You know, if you see us, we also in the 4-3, you know, four guys down. So just different things and different schemes, you know, for different people's skill sets. You know, you got to play with it's me, BG, Trent Cole, all of us on the one line. You know, just different. And everybody just mixed up a little bit. And then they're just trying to see who is good at what and who's not. But, you know, they know at the end of the day.
How much hand in the ground, how much stand up right now?
You know, it's about fair shot. It's about fair shot.
Vinny, what was last year like now that you have a perspective of your rookie season?
You know, I just want to move forward from it. You know, me from a personal standpoint, just, you know, everything that happened and the whirlwind I was going through and the up and down, how I was feeling, you know, I just want to move past that, you know, just get ready for this season. You know, first slate, clean start, and, you know, just try to contribute to the football team like I was brought here to do.
And what weight, how much weight have you put on exactly?
From when I got drafted, you know, all together, it's probably like 30 pounds.
And what do you feel different about your body when you're on the field?
Nothing, actually. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like I got faster, you know, just the way you're moving around, moving things around. Like I'm saying, this offseason, I just trained so hard from different directions and went off, did a little bit of cross training with Olympic training, just mixed it in, and I feel great.
All right, there you go. That is Vinny Curry. Let's get to some phone calls here. Marcus in Virginia joins us. Hey, Marcus.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm good. How are you? Good afternoon.
I'm doing good.
Good.
First, I just got to say I'm an Eagles junkie.
Yes. Join the club. Thank you.
I have a question, though. I've been hearing about Andy Reid playing music at his practice.
I've heard the same, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think Andy's a hipster. What can I tell you? No, I mean, it's what everybody's doing now. Look, Chip began a lot of this in college. We know the NFL is a copycat league. And understand the purpose of the music. The purpose of the music is obviously, hey, gets everybody going a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But ultimately, you drown out the music.
Right.
And you just don't feel it. You don't hear it. And ultimately, in a game situation, when you have 70,000 people screaming at you, you're not going to hear that either. Because you've been listening to noise for months and months and months every day.
Right.
So, you know, hey, good for Andy. He's on the train.
Exactly. Another question.
Yes.
If Vic do have another pro ball year, do you see him being able to come back?
Yeah. Isn't that the goal? The goal here is to find a franchise. Look, Bill Lazor, quarterback's coach, was in here a week and a half ago and I think said it best. The goal is to have a quarterback who's going to win you a championship. So if Michael Vick becomes the quarterback and has a great Pro Bowl season, that means the Eagles have won a lot of games. That means they've scored a lot of points. That means they have a chance to win a Super Bowl with Michael Vick. Whoever it is, that's your goal. There's no favorites here. Who do you think, Marcus, will win the quarterback job?
I believe Vick will.
Okay.
And then... honestly, I think Barkley will be number two.
Interesting. And what happens with Nick Foles?
He's the backup for three. Because in my opinion, even if Vic do have a good year, I just see that he'll finish this year as a starter, and then next year I see Barkley as our franchise quarterback and Foles be the backup.
Well, if Michael Vick wins the starting job, and these are all ifs, has a Pro Bowl year, he's not coming back next year as a backup.
Exactly.
You know? So, look, I again, probably say this every year. When the preseason comes around, you're going to be watching every single snap. There's not going to be one boring snap in a preseason game. There's so much riding on every snap, every roster position, a lot of competition. Dennis Dixon, I want to see Dennis Dixon play quarterback.
I do, too.
You know, I want to see them all. I think it's fascinating. I think it's really, really interesting, Marcus, to see how these quarterbacks fit into Chip and how Chip adjusts his offense to the quarterbacks. Will the Eagles run different plays when Michael Vick is playing quarterback as opposed to Nick Foles, for example, in a preseason game?
Yeah, I wondered that too.
You know, I mean, they're going to run an option. They're going to run a read option. They're going to have Michael run the football. Are they going to have Nick run the football? I don't know. I can't wait to find out, though.
Yes, it's a good question.
Marcus, thanks, man. Stay in touch.
You too.
All right. 215-339-6709. Speaking of the quarterbacks, the NFL Network, Solomon Wilcots kicking it around in the studio about the Eagles quarterbacks and who's going to be the guy. Let's throw it over to the NFL Network and see what they think about the Eagles quarterback situation.
Eagles' last day of OTAs was a busy one for Nick Foles, the second-year quarterback taking a disproportionately large number of snaps in comparison to the Eagles' other three quarterbacks, including Michael Vick. According to NJ.com, the latter 28 reps, while Foles had 42, although part of the reason for that disparity was because Foles' his series were more successful and therefore longer. As for Barkley, he had 21 reps, all with the third team.
Getting a lot of reps. It's something that we prepare for, and you know, we've been doing it for the last 2 months, and it feels good to be able to go out there and finish practice the way we did and still finish strong and feel strong at the end of practice. It means a lot.
The tempo is something that we've already gotten used to as an offense, and as a team, we're, I think that's our identity, and I think you should be comfortable with it. And once it starts to get even slow, if guys are standing around looking, you're trying to get everyone speed everyone up to make it faster. So it's the mentality that Chip's instilling that you got to have.
Complete breakdown of the quarterback reps here, and I'm sure some of you are rolling your eyes. After all, it is May. They're in shorts. These are OTAs, not regular practices. But I'm wondering if there is anything that we can read into these numbers. And so I pose that question to Willie McGinnis and Solomon Wilcots.
Willie, to answer the question of who's going to start the most game at the quarterback position for the Eagles in 2013, I go back to when Chip Kelly was hired. Remember, he inquired as to whether or not they were going to pick up the option on Mike Vick's contract. And so the fact that they paid him a lot of money, the fact that they know he's a good fit for this offense, I believe he really wants to see Michael Vick, right, Dennis Dixon, that type of quarterback in this read option type offense. Now, they're taking a good look at Nick Foles. They're going to take a good look at Barkley. But at the end of the day, he wants the more athletic quarterback playing in this offense.
We're talking about OTA reps and shorts, right?
That's right.
We're talking
That's
about OTA right. reps and
That's
shorts.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so when I look at that, you hit it right on the head, Solly. It's about evaluating all your quarterbacks to see what they can do. We know they're not going to take a four-man roster at the quarterback position, so they have to evaluate Nick Foles. You have to evaluate everybody you have on that roster. And if you find the guy that fits your system best, which I think, like you said, yeah, they already have that. They have two of those guys that fit the mold. Well, the position right now, they just got Matt Barkley in the draft, so we need to see what Nick Foles can do. And when Nick Foles goes out there and he does well, that could be meaning something else, Lindsay, like trade bait or going to another team or just trying to get his value up. Who knows?
The ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Andiamo, andiamo, avanti, avanti.
Johnny, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We are talking defense here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Spadaro. We welcome in defensive coordinator Bill Davis to our Xfinity studio. And, Coach, let's talk a little defense.
Let's talk.
I have one goal in this interview. You have been talking to the media for more than an hour. I want to ask one question that you have not heard. So let's. At the end, I want you to tell me if you've...
Okay, I'll be honest.
I guess the first thing I want to... What have you seen so far from the guys? Kind of, what do you think you have from the group?
Well, the first thing that jumped out is their work ethic. The guys are all in. We've installed the defense 1.5 times now. We'll finish with the OTAs for the full second time. And they've been eating it up. They dive in. They're working their tail off on the techniques we're asking them to use, the scheme and how we're asking them to get done, because they've got a new language to learn. You know, as coaches came together and we built a language that we've got to learn with each other, and then all of a sudden we teach it to the players, and they've got 100 questions, and they're diving in, and the mistakes are lower than I anticipated.
Good. Is it considered, from what you know, a voluminous defense? I mean, if you've been able to get through it 1.5 times, I mean, I don't know, is that normal? Or is it number of reps? I mean, how I've always thought you kind of teach it in small segments here and then get to the whole base of it.
You have to make a choice. Mm-hmm. Do you want to teach it slow and just the basics and not get the whole package in, or do you want to throw the whole package at them in a light way without getting too detailed, get them to understand the big concepts, and that's what we've chosen to do. We're going to teach the big concepts of all the defenses, knowing there'll be some mistakes hidden inside because we haven't detailed all of them yet. And now the second time around, it's a little slower, a little more detailed, but they have the big concepts down. So it's the big concepts, and then we'll get more detailed. When we come back for training camp, they'll have both big concepts, a little more detail, and then we'll really fine-tune it.
Yeah,
and so with the volume of reps we have, that's a benefit.
So they understand the means to the end here, and then they can go back and figure out, hey, now I understand why I go from point A. I know how to get to point C. I just got to do point B.
Correct.
The right way.
And one of the biggest things in teaching defense is 11 men have to be connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have one guy break down, it's a trickle-down effect. So to be a great defense, you've got to be on the same page, and you've got to be together. And first and foremost, you understand your responsibility and technique. But the quicker you can branch out and understand those that are closest to you and how your technique affects theirs, and then you get the whole defense, and the great defenses understand how they fit together.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to go 3-4-4-3 because I know your answer is going to be...
It's been asked.
I know that's been asked. But what is the general philosophy of a Bill Davis defense?
Well, the number one thing that we as a defensive staff, this is a Philadelphia Eagle defense, and I don't want to make it an ideal because we have a great defensive staff that collectively have come together and put this scheme and used the words and decided on the techniques and the scheme we're going to use. And what we as a defensive staff want to get done is break the rhythm of the offense we're facing. And they all have different rhythms and they all have different deployments. And we've got a defense that we're going to put together and that we believe we've put together that will break the rhythm of offenses, keep them off balance, let us get the ball back. We talk defensively almost every day about our number one job is to gain possession of the ball for the Philadelphia Eagles and keep the points down to as low as we can keep them down.
So I'm going to read into it and say this will be, and I'm sure every defense is, aggressive, not afraid to blitz, not afraid to force the issue.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then I'm going to tell you that I would say that you want to show a lot of different things during the course of a game and also from one week to the next, correct?
Yes, and one of the things that you talk about showing different things, we have to react to what we're being shown by the offense. What does the Washington Redskins offense pose as a threat to us as opposed to the Giants?
Okay.
They've got different deployments. They've got different, completely different schemes. So you've got to realign the defensive players to what you're trying and attempting to stop of what they do and they hang their hat on. So from week to week, you will see different deployments by us and different ways of stopping that particular offense. If you get back-to-back weeks where the offenses are very similar, well, we'll probably look very similar.
Yeah.
The whole goal is getting our guys in position to break the rhythm of the offense and doing what they do best, our defensive players.
I think one player that Eagles fans really look to and say, well, if there's going to be a big difference in this defense, Trent Cole is going to be somebody who maybe we won't recognize where he is on the field. What is his role? What have you seen from him as you've asked him to adjust to what he needs to do in this defense? What is
he? Well, Trent Cole, like all the players, Trent Cole, first and foremost, goes forward better than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Rushes the passer. He's had multiple 10-sack seasons. He's an all-out effort guy in every play, and you love watching him play. You love coaching him. You love being around him. But like all players on our defense right now, we are cross-training them in different skill sets to see how many different versions and deployments we can make. And part of the outside backers and defensive ends, we're teaching them to drop. And in this phase of the offseason program, there are no pads. There is no pass rush evaluation. There's no run game evaluation. This is all about space, movement. So we're taking the opportunity to drop them as much as we can to train them, so if we want to call on them to do those things, they can, and they'll have a skill set. Trent, along with the other guys, are really coming along and looking night and day different than day one that they do right now. And they'll tell you they're more comfortable at it. They've done it more. So when we hit the season, we'll have a choice and ability to do both. We know we can go forward. We've got all this film work, and he's got all those years of experience of putting his hand in dirt and going, and we're going to have him do that.
So I get it. I think I get it. Because let me tell me if I'm wrong. You are in still discovery phase, teaching and discovery phase with your players,
right?
Absolutely. And you want to go into the season saying, this is what I have with these guys, but I'm also want to keep the flexibility of asking them to do a lot of different things within all these multiple fronts and the different concepts you have in coverage, so that we're going to adjust this from one game to the next, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, so I can't sit here and say, Bill, give me, what are you playing, 3-4-4-3? Because the truth is, the answer is both. I can't say, hey, Bill, is Trent Cole a defensive end or a linebacker? Your answer is he could be both.
That's exactly what I've been trying to say.
And it took you an hour to deal with. I could have gotten that done a lot faster than that.
You didn't even need me here.
But, I mean, the truth is that that's really – it is very much a work in progress.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And this is a teaching. This is the biggest learning phase. We have, as a new staff, and all the new staffs in the NFL this year, I've been through this a couple times. It is the main obstacle you have is getting – your guys to understand the language and the new set of techniques and scheme. Some are they've already done in their careers, and some mm-hmm. they haven't. But the pace at which you can get everybody on the same page and coordinated together, we'll see the Washington Redskins game. I mean, we're going to put our head down and work our tails off to get to play the best game we can against Washington. But that game will tell us who we are and where we are.
Sure. But at this point, how few mistakes you make in practice, communications-wise, positions on the field wise, that's how you're dictating your success one day
absolutely.
To the next.
Absolutely.
I got this is easy.
See?
Did I ask any questions that you hadn't heard in the last hour and a half?
No, you got one?
I thought I was good. Bill Davis, thanks for joining us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
We'll be right back. All right, we welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here, Eagles Live, the name of our show. We will be back on Thursday once this three-day minicamp wraps up. Chip Kelly meets the media at that time. Let's go to Kelly in Delaware on the telephone line. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Yeah, calling because on the last season, I think the offense looked more fluid when Nick Foles was in. And I think that Nick Foles will end up winning the competition between him and Vic. It's just my opinion. But my question is, if that were to happen, do you think Vic gets cut in August before season starts?
It's a great question.
Do you see him playing, you know, second quarterback?
It is a very good question. I don't know. I don't know what the salary cap ramifications would be. I think it's kind of been proven here that you're going to need a second quarterback in the NFL, right? So you really better have two or three good ones. It's a good question. I don't know. It's kind of a hypothetical question. I understand now why Chip Kelly doesn't want to answer hypothetical questions. It's a very difficult question. I don't know what Chip would do in that situation. I probably would not cut Michael Vick in that situation just because I want to make sure that I've got as much talent as I can have. You know, unless Dennis Dixon shows that he can operate at a high level and be a reliable third quarterback, and that Matt Barkley can do the same at the number two position. But it's just so early, Kelly. I, judging Nick last year and judging him this year, it's going to be totally different because the scheme is so completely different.
So, yeah, that's definitely true.
You know, I thought Nick played well last year at times, and for a rookie, I thought he played quite well. However, he's in a whole new world now with this system. This is if I were to define one thing about this scheme as far as the quarterback situation goes, to me it would be the quarterback gets the ball out of his hand quickly. Get it out quickly. Don't let the pass rush get to you. That's something that we've been waiting for Michael Vick to do. Get rid of it. Drop back. Get rid of it. Read, react, recognize, get it out of your hands. Let's see if he does it this year.
All right, well. Yeah, thanks for the answer. And well, I'm an Eagles fan, and you know, I feel like we're going to be. I feel like we're a playoff team this year, even though they say we're in rebuilding phase. We got the same offense that was on the field in 2010 that almost beat the Packers on the road to the Super Bowl. And I don't know. Go Eagles!
All right, thanks, Kelly. I hate to say playoff. I do think the offense, assuming the offensive line takes a big step forward, assuming the quarterbacks, whoever it is, adjust quickly to the scheme and that it's a sound scheme. I like the skill position people a lot. I think the Eagles should run the football very, very well. I think the offense has a chance to score a lot of points and be diverse. Defensively, I have no idea. New coaching staff, players new all over the field, no clue. I tell you, special teams like Alex Henry a lot, booming a 60-yard field goal the other day in practice. I look up, I see Donnie Jones. The hang time is tremendous in the punt game. Kickoff returns, got to be a lot better. Damaris Johnson or DeSean Jackson returning punts, I'm fine with either one. So special teams, I feel good about that. I feel really good about the offense. And defensively, I'm very hopeful, but there's so many unknowns that I don't have a feel. So there you have it. Anyway, we are going to come back on Thursday, guys. Eagles Live returns at that time. Between now and then, of course, we'll have complete coverage of this minicamp. And we'll see how it goes. The last visit for the Eagles and the players, the veterans, between now and training camp. Reminder, Zach Ertz and Brandon Poyer still out as they wait for their respective college classes to graduate. All right? We thank you very much for joining us here. We're back on Thursday at 3 p.m. Great show today. Thanks to everybody here working on it. Thanks to you for joining us. Everyone, have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Keep pushing. Hey, keep fighting. You're going to step it up. I'll fight for it.